acceptable in the sight of the Lord, our strength and our redeemer.
Giving instructions for action. My favorite line in this particular passage is kind of an aside. The writer says, if you happen to be a part of a household that is too small for a whole lamb, you should join with your closest neighbor in obtaining one. Work together. Rely on one another. But get a lamb. This is what you are supposed to do. The overall theme of this passage and the ongoing commemoration of Passover is in the actions. It is in the performing of certain ritual actions. Actions intended to show honor to God and also to preserve the identity of the people. This is what you shall do as God's people, the writer says. The gospel passage appointed for today is a little bit difficult to interpret, at least in its specifics. And it has been, I think, often misinterpreted as sort of a call to people in the church to set up rules for inclusion and rules for exclusion. I think it's pretty clear that Jesus, for me at least, Jesus' overall intention, though, in this passage, is the nurturing of the community and providing at least one procedure by which reconciliation within the community can take place. That Jesus' hope and Jesus' goal is that those within the fellowship of his disciples be reconciled. If differences arise amongst them, they should seek reconciliation. They should seek to live in harmony with one another. I want to focus, though, primarily today on the epistle, on Paul's writing to the Romans. Paul, of course, can be a very mixed bag, to say the least. There are aspects of Paul that are just awful, and there are aspects of Paul that are wonderful. Paul was writing within the context of the early Christian community. He was writing to early congregations. He was writing to a group. And in this particular portion of Romans, he is giving ethical instructions. He is teaching them how to behave. He is teaching them what to do as new young followers of Jesus. He's saying, this is what Jesus' followers do. Again, the focus is on action, a way of living, a way of behaving. Long section in Romans here, several chapters that deal with this sort of teaching. We had a big chunk last week. Some of you may remember, I remember Mary reading it last week. Some of you may remember there were lots of instructions and trying to keep track of them. A lot of them were very weighty, really almost too much to process. But let me remind you of what Paul said last week to the early Christians in Rome. He said, let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. One another. It's so often about how we relate to others. In Paul's instruction, primarily others within the Christian community, but certainly others beyond it as well. Outdo one another, Paul says, in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal, be ardent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone, evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, Paul was practical. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves. There are undoubtedly one or two or more of those specific instructions that you could take to heart, just as there are for me. But it is a lot, and yet if you listened, you heard too how much of it had to do with respect and love and honor for others. Live in a way that does not hurt honors the others and upholds and honors. And live peaceably, unity with others. This week, in the reading that we had from Romans, just a little bit later on in Romans, he sums it all up in words that are familiar and that echo Jesus' own words. Paul says, basically, any commandment, all of the commandments, are summed up in this. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no wrong to a neighbor. And I don't know if you've heard this before, but even if you have, it bears repeating, I think, over and over and over again. Love is a common theme in the scriptures, particularly in the New Testament. Jesus, Paul, the other writers often speak of love, God's love for us, but also the call to us to love, to be loving people. We are called and challenged to love our neighbor as ourselves. It is very important to remember that the love that is referred to in the scriptures is not a feeling. It is not a warmth of the heart. It is not a feeling of affection. It is a way of acting. To love is to act in a certain way. When Jesus talks about love, when Paul talks about love, they are talking about choosing to act in a certain way. As Paul says in this morning's reading, choose to act in a way that does no wrong to a neighbor. I've heard it described, and I hang on to a definition I heard long ago that is more positive and more active than that. That to love is to act in a way that does good for another. To love is to act, to choose to act in a way that brings good to the other, to another, to others, to the neighbor. Choose to act, actively act in a way that brings good to others, to your neighbor. We're called to act that way, of course, within the fellowship of the church, but certainly beyond it as well. Jesus taught us that our neighbor is not just the person closest to us, either geographically or philosophically or relationally. Jesus taught us that our neighbors include even those who are most different and most distant to any or all of our neighbors. Those neighbors that may live within your own household, those neighbors within the fellowship of the parish, certainly. Those neighbors with whom we share the broader community, the local community. Strangers who find themselves in need. Those facing, as so many are now, significant natural disasters. Those neighbors of ours who are the victims of political turmoil throughout the world. I need to be reminded, and perhaps you do as well, that our neighbors are also not just the needy, but the powerful. Those with whom we agree and those with whom we disagree. They too are our neighbors. And when we are called and encouraged and challenged to love our neighbor, we are challenged to act for the good. In the lives of all of those others with whom we have any potential interaction, to act for their good. Love one another, Paul says. Remember that that's not a feeling. We are not challenged to summon affection. Not that there's anything wrong with affection. But we do not have to feel affection. To act with love. To love one another is a way of acting that seeks always to bring the good into the lives of others. It requires us trying to answer as honestly as possible, what is the good for another person? Not what do we think they need, but what do they really need? The others in our lives, the neighbors in our lives. And how can we offer that good to them? This sort of love can be deeply rewarding. And I already see it in action in this parish and in St. John's. But it can also be hard. And yet it is a choice. It is a choice that we can make to act in a way that brings good into the lives of others. This is clearly God's hope for the world, and each of us has a role to play, to love our neighbors, to act in ways that bring good into their